You're listening to His Time. I'm Andy Bates. It is 8:05 Central Time. It is time to study the daily New Testament reading. Our guest pastor joining us by phone this morning, Pastor Randolph Schnock from Trinity Lutheran Church in Mena, Arkansas. Good morning, Pastor Schnock.
Good morning.
Great to have you with us this morning. Tell us about Trinity Lutheran Church in Mena, Arkansas.
Well, Trinity Lutheran Church is a small confessional liturgical church, and we love the area. We love the people here, and we seek to reach out all the time to them and to share with them the good news and to help them to get a love for the liturgy, a love for the Lord. So that's who we are.
Well, thanks be to God that you are there delivering God's good gifts in word and sacrament in Mena, Arkansas. Where is Mena, Arkansas?
Well, it's kind of located about 90 minutes from three different areas, and that's the easiest way to find it, and that would be we're south of Fort Smith in Arkansas. We are west of Hot Springs, and we are north of Texarkana, and it takes about 90 minutes to go to any one of those. So, and we're about 12 miles from the Oklahoma border.
Very good. Very good. We are studying John chapter 16 this morning, verses 17 through 33. What would you like us to know about John 16 as we prepare to study this text this morning?
Well, John 16, he starts off talking about the persecution that's going to be happening and that he's going to be leaving for their benefit so that the Holy Spirit can come. Actually, I think that part's just a hair before that, but no, I guess it is in there. That the Holy Spirit's going to come and convict the world, and that the Holy Spirit will complete the teachings that they have on all things so that then they'll be better equipped. And, of course, his leaving causes them consternation, and you know, they're sad because he's saying he's going. And yet, as we see at the very first verse when we get into it, they don't bother asking him. They just kind of wonder about it themselves.
Very good. We are studying the daily New Testament reading today with Pastor Randolph Schnock from Trinity Lutheran Church in Mena, Arkansas. We're in John chapter 16 today, beginning at verse 17. Let's take a look at the text. Verse 17, some of his disciples said to one another, "What is this that he says to us? A little while and you will not see me, and again a little while and you will see me, and because I am going to the Father." So they were saying, what does he mean by a little while? We do not know what he is talking about. Jesus knew that they wanted to ask him, so he said to them, "Is this what you are asking yourselves, what I meant by saying a little while, and you will not see me, and again a little while, and you will see me? Truly, truly, I say to you, you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. You will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will turn into joy. When a woman is giving birth, she has sorrow because her hour has come. But when she has delivered the baby, she no longer remembers the anguish for joy that a human being has been born into the world. So also you have sorrow now, but I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take your joy from you. In that day, you will ask nothing of me. Truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Until now, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you will receive, that your joy may be full." All right, we are studying John chapter 16 today, verses 17 through 33. If you have a question or a comment, give us a call or an email, 314-821-0850, 1-800-730-2727, or you can email us, kfuo@kfuo.org. Let's take a look at these first few verses here, Pastor. Verse 17, so some of his disciples said to one another, "What is this that he says to us? A little while, and you will not see me, and again a little while, and you will see me, because I am going to the Father." They seem confused by this.
Yes, they certainly were, and it's interesting that, you know, they're not asking him; they're asking each other. Mm-hmm. And it's something that we like to do ourselves when it comes to God's Word. I don't know of too many Christians that don't have a Bible. But instead of looking to the Bible for answers, they look to themselves and talk among themselves and ask other people and try to find, and they don't bother to go to the source.
So they were saying, what does this mean? What does he mean by a little while? We do not know what he's talking about. And Jesus knew that they wanted to ask him. So he said to them, is this what you are asking yourselves, what I meant by saying a little while and you will not see me, and again a little while and you will see me?
Exactly. And so he had to take the initiative. Mm-hmm. Instead of them asking him, he took the initiative because he loves us so much that even when we don't take the initiative and we don't do, he comes to us and will try to take care of our need even when we have not asked him for it.
Truly, truly, I say to you, you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. You will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will turn into joy. We'll talk about the example here in just a little bit. Why does he say, truly, truly, I say to you, you'll weep, you'll lament, but the world will rejoice. You'll be sorrowful, but your sorrow will turn into joy. What is this sorrow? What is this weeping all about?
Well, he's about to die, and he's already mentioned that about 3 or 4 times, and they were sad just hearing that he was going to be leaving them. And he's making it even more clear, no, I'm not talking about going on a trip, you know, rather, you know, that this is because I'm going to die and you're going to be sorrowful because you love me and I know that. And when I'm gone, you're going to be even more confused than you are now. You'll be sorrowful. And, of course, he's going to rise from the dead. And when he rises from the dead, then their sorrow will be turned to joy.
Very good. So there is sorrow that will turn to joy. So shall we go on to the example then in verse 21 that he gives?
I was just going to mention one thing that I love about reading John is we really don't have too many Greek to English issues here. This is all mm-hmm. pretty straightforward. And, you know, as I was doing my Greek study on this, it was... You know, the translation is fairly straightforward, and none of the ideas are that difficult. So that's kind of good. There's a few places where there's a few words once in a while, but really it's quite good, easy in the Greek. So
very good.
We might as well go ahead.
All right, verse 21. When a woman is giving birth, she has sorrow because her hour has come. But when she has delivered the baby, she no longer remembers the anguish for joy that a human being has been born into the world. So also you have sorrow now, but I will see you again and your hearts will rejoice and no one will take your joy from you. So just as when a woman is giving birth, that's a very, very trying and dangerous time in human life, isn't it?
Yes, and you know, this is such a beautiful word picture for us. And the people that are sorrowing is, of course, Jesus himself is going through a difficult time. You know, we know that before he went to his death, he prayed, you know, if possible, let this cup pass from me, because it was difficult for Jesus. It was difficult for the angels that were watching, even though they knew the outcome and absolutely knew this was going to be for the benefit of the world. Still, you know, to see God in the flesh dying is such an amazing and sorrowful thing. And then, you know, and for the disciples especially, you know, what a great sorrow that they would go through trying to watch this and being so confused and not understanding what is going on. And it's interesting, you know, because a little bit before that, it says, you know, it said in verse 20, you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice.
Mm-hmm.
The world rejoices because Jesus rose and their sins are forgiven and they've been set free from all the bondage to sin that had been around them and holding them. And so this is this idea of when they went through this trouble and then they see Christ risen and they know finally what it was all about and that he has broken the bonds for them, that then they can no longer even realize the anguish. That's why when you look at Good Friday, it's a time of joy, even as we sorrow at what Christ had to go through.
And there's nothing, as we see here in verse 22, and no one will take your joy from you. What kind of joy is this? When I think of, you know, when we hear the word joy, we think of happiness and things like that, and the happiness that earthly things bring us. But what type of joy is this that no one can take from us?
It's that strength, that peace, that confidence, and the joy is also just having belonging, being part of God's family, and all of that is something that is so powerful and strong, and that's all part of that joy. And there is one thing. Now, here's one of the few places where looking at the Greek was good, because it says no one will take it from you in the translation, but actually the word there could just as well be nothing. And nothing can take it from us.
Anything else before we go on to verse 23, Pastor?
Just this idea that, you know, we really are in a position of having that completeness, that fullness, that happiness or joy forevermore.
Mm-hmm. Verse 23, in that day you will ask nothing of me. Truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. So in that day you will ask nothing of me. But truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you.
This is something that's interesting, because the fact is, praying, you know, we pray in the name of Jesus, which is more than just a bunch of words. You know, so most people, when they think about the name of Jesus, they think like it's a formula. It's a way to end the prayer. Instead of what in the name of Jesus really means. And when you think about what the name of Jesus means, it means that we have a connection with the Father. And because of that connection, we really don't have to ask Jesus. And Jesus is the great high priest, and we can, of course, ask him anything as true God. But in terms of as the man Jesus, who is also true God, we don't have to go through him. We can go directly to the Father now. In his name. What that means is, because of what he's done and because of the faith that we have, it connects us to him, to the Father, and to the Holy Spirit. And so we have that direct access to God. We can stand before the Father's throne. And for us today, most people don't think anything of that. But when you really look at the Bible and see how it talks about the fear that Isaiah has, and that all the others have, that Moses had, with the idea of standing before God, because God is so holy and we are so sinful. And the idea that we could actually stand before God, we have to do it in the righteousness of Christ, or indeed it would be struck down.
Anything else? As we wrap up this section, this first section, 17 through 24, Pastor?
Well, the other thing is, you know, it says, ask and you will receive. And again, this causes concern for people, because a lot of people say, well, I asked and I didn't receive. And that you get the same in other issues, places in Scripture. And in that one, it says when we ask again, when we ask in Jesus' name, it is a prayer in which the faith that we have is that which is speaking. Each of us have both an old Adam and a new Adam in us, that new Adam created by Christ. And when it's the new Adam that's asking, then indeed we will receive what we need. But everything we do is a mixture, usually, of the old and the new. And, of course, when we ask out of old Adam motivation, then often we do not receive what we ask for.
We're studying the Daily New Testament reading today with Pastor Randolph Schnock from Trinity Lutheran Church in Mena, Arkansas. We're in John chapter 16 today, verses 17 through 33. If you have a question or a comment, give us a call or an email, 314-821-0850, 1-800-730-2727, or you can email us, kfuo@kfuo.org. You're listening to His Time on Worldwide KFUO.
It just might be that you know someone who is aging gracefully but needs a bit of assistance. Perhaps you are looking for a doctor to make a house visit on your mom, or a handyman to fix an elderly neighbor's sink. Or maybe you think your dad qualifies for veterans benefits, but you just aren't sure. Aging Answers is a free service sponsored by Lutheran Senior Services. Make it your go-to source for aging-related concerns. LSS Aging Answers, 314-446-2475.
The world is the mission field of Worldwide KFUO. We bring the gospel of Christ to all nations. Worldwide KFUO reaches countries where missionaries on the ground can't go. Christ called us to proclaim the gospel to all nations. And that's what we do here every day at Worldwide KFUO. If our mission and worldwide outreach is important to you, would you please prayerfully consider supporting Worldwide KFUO at kfuo.org.
You're listening to His Time on Worldwide KFUO. We are studying the Daily New Testament reading today in John chapter 16, verses 17 through 33. Our guest pastor, the Reverend Randolph Schnock from Trinity Lutheran Church in Mena, Arkansas. And pastor, anything else before we go on to the next section at verse 25?
Not so much in 25. Of course, when we get into 26 and 27, this is part of what we'd said before about prayer and so that'll tie in with what we said previously.
All right, let's dig in. Verse 25. I have said these things to you in figures of speech. The hour is coming when I will no longer speak to you in figures of speech, but will tell you plainly about the Father. In that day, you will ask in my name, and I do not say to you that I will ask the Father on your behalf. For the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me and have believed that I came from God. I came from the Father and have come into the world, and now I am leaving the world and going to the Father. So Jesus says, I have said these things to you in figures of speech. The hour is coming when I will no longer speak to you in figures of speech, but will tell you plainly about the Father.
The figures, of course, one of the things that's interesting is Jesus almost never used very clear speech when he was speaking to the public. He always used parables. Now, he would explain the parables to his disciples, but still he had this hiddenness about him that was kept. And as he started in his ministry to become more clear, that's when more and more of the Jews that were following him left him. And even then he was using figurative speech, but it became clear when he said things like, I'm the bread of life, and so on, that you would eat my flesh. Those things made people leave him, except, of course, again, this figurative speech is used over and over again. And that was necessary partly because of the end that had to come to him, that he had to be put to death. And so he spoke in a way where the people, in fact, went in that direction instead of in a direction that would have kept him from being put to death by the Jews, or by the religious leaders of the time.
In that day, you will ask in my name, and I do not say to you that I will ask the Father on your behalf, for the Father himself loves you because you have loved me and have believed that I came from God.
Yeah, here it talks about this relationship of faith. To prayer. And faith and love of God, has a definite relationship to God's hearing and answering our prayer. For he hears because he's united with us, and we can stand before the Father when we stand in the righteousness of Christ. And he loves us. He's never not loved us. But he reserves for those who trust in him the blessings that he gives us in Christ.
I came from the Father and have come into the world, and now I am leaving the world and going to the Father.
I think you need to take that one with the next verse, because, you know, this idea that they see now what's going to be happening.
Sure, I can read that. His disciples said, "Ah, now you are speaking plainly and not using figurative speech."
So he's making it very clear to them, you know, he is leaving, but he's also shared with them that how wonderful it will be for them. Even though they'll sorrow when he's gone, it will be wonderful for them. And yet, even here, because when you look at what happens in the future, even though they say, "Ah, now we understand, and you're speaking plainly," yet they still go through that sorrow and that trouble and that confusion.
Let's go to...
And I think that's also true often with us. We know that God is with us. We know what awaits us. And yet, when we hit various trials, we still get thrown into confusion.
Let's go to Marilyn in Granite City, Illinois. Good morning, Marilyn.
Well, good morning to both of you. And I have two questions. One, does not our faith come from God? And two, on the scripture that you just read, believing that you shall receive, if in fact you know that Jesus Christ is our Savior. And you explained that sort of, Pastor. I know many people, this is really a verse that upsets them, because they have asked so many times, and I'm not talking for worldly things, I'm talking for the loved ones. And, you know, even though they, well, I'm assuming have faith, and I know that I have faith, that, you know, they didn't receive what they had requested. I'll hang up and listen to you, but I just think that that is one verse that really upsets people.
Thanks for your call, Marilyn. Pastor, what about when we ask something in Jesus' name, but do not receive it?
The problem that we have is we can't really see the total effects. And, you know, the scriptures also says that if you ask, ask for a piece of bread, will he give you a stone and a scorpion and other things? Often we ask for things that actually is not good for us. Now, we don't think it's not good for us. We think it's wonderful for us. It's kind of like, you know, some people think, well, if I just won the lottery, things would just be so wonderful. And yet when you actually look at lottery winners, almost half, if not even a little bit more than half, it ruins their life rather than making it better. And in this same way, we don't really know what's going to work out best for us. And quite frankly, sometimes what we need the most is going through troubles and difficulties and having to grow. We don't grow when the easy things happen. We grow when the hard things happen. And God knows what we need. And so when we ask for something, in Jesus' name, we're always asking in the same way that Jesus asked. You know, when Jesus asked for blessings that would be on a more temporal nature, or even when he asked that the cup might be passed from him, you know, it's always, your will be done. And that's part of that prayer of faith, is saying, I know that you know best, and if what you have for me is better than what I'm asking for, that's what I want. And see, faith is going to say that. That's what I want, what you know is best for me. And sometimes what's best for us isn't what we think is best for us.
So when we pray, what does it mean to pray in Jesus' name?
Again, that means praying with that faith that says, I can actually go to the Father, that the Father will hear my prayer, that he loves me, and that he will answer my prayer, you know, every time. He's going to answer it, but sometimes the answer is, I'll do what's best for you, because a prayer of faith includes that idea, you know what's best.
Now we know, verse 30, now we know that you know all things and do not need anyone to question you. This is why we believe that you came from God. Jesus answered, do you now believe? Behold, the hour is coming. Indeed, it has come when you will be scattered, each to his own home, and will leave me alone. Yet I am not alone, for the Father is with me. I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. So now we know that all things, that you know all things and do not need anyone to question you. This is why we believe that you came from God.
Right. Here, you know, this idea of the truth of what you're saying, no one should question your authority because you speak with an authority that comes from God. Is kind of the idea from that.
And so Jesus answered them, do you now believe? Behold, the hour is coming. Indeed, it has come when you will be scattered, each to his own home, and will leave me. Yet I'm not alone, for the Father is with me.
The section there, it's the first thing I think of when he says, do you now believe? Is, of course, doubting Thomas. Because even though we do believe, often we allow doubts to come up, and yet, you know, he loves us so much that he does not abandon us. It's just a wonderful thing, you know. And he knows also that even though they're talking about their faith, he knows what they're still going to go through. And yet, you know, and so that's why he says the hour is coming. That you will be scattered, and that you will, you know, leave the Lord alone. That's why he says that, is because he knows that even though they're saying, oh, now we understand, now we believe, even now they are still not fully understanding yet.
Looking at, well, let's take a look at the last verse here. I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world.
Okay, I was going to say just one more thing about verse 32, if
sure.
I could.
Sure, absolutely, go ahead.
One of the things that I see in verse 32, too, you know, he says the Father remains with him, but there is a short period there, actually not all that short when you'd experience it, when even the Father leaves Jesus on his own on the cross. The Father is with him as he goes through everything until he has actually taken all the sins on the world, and he is paying that price, because the price of sin is separation from the Father, separation from God. And to me, of all the different things that happens in Scripture, the idea of Jesus Christ, true God, taking on all sin when God is so holy, the tension that has to create in him, and then even the Father being pushed away by that sin, that he has to pay that penalty of separation. And, of course, that's the real hell, is never being with God. Of course, for Christ, that was for a short time. But for those that never have faith, it's for an eternity. And then we get into this last verse.
Mm-hmm.
God would have us have peace even in the tribulation that the world has. And that's why he said all of these things to the disciples, so they would have peace, so that when all these things happened, they would have that understanding. And that's the purpose that he has for them and for us, that we could have peace. And that peace is not just, you know, a lack of conflict. A lot of people, when they think about peace, they think about a lack of conflict, and peace is so much more than that. You know, peace is that completeness. It's that really being fulfilled in Christ that passes all understanding.
This verse 33, I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. But take heart, I have overcome the world. Then it should be no surprise when we have troubles in this world. But yet, quite often, the popular religion or popular Christianity, whatever you might want to call it, popular American Christianity, teaches that God wants you to be happy. And so if you're not happy, then there's something wrong with your faith or something wrong with you. But here we see, straight from Jesus, in this world, in the world, you will have tribulation.
Yes, one of the beauties of the way the Lutheran understanding of Scripture is this wonderful understanding that we also share in the suffering of Christ, and that suffering is something which actually helps us to help our neighbors. Sometimes we go through bad things simply so that we can have a better way of helping another person that's going through difficulties. You know, we don't always understand the tribulations and the troubles we go through, but God does, and He doesn't cause us any pain needlessly. But He does allow pain to come to us because that's what's necessary for us, both as individuals and for our outreach and our ability to touch other people. And one of the other things I just love is our hymnody, because for those people out there that are suffering any kind of those issues and troubles, if they could pick up one of the hymnals that we have and look in the area that's cross and comfort, there is so much in there that can be so beautifully helpful. So often I have people use the hymnal, you know, as a devotional guide for them when they're going through troubles, because those hymns in that section are just so helpful when you're going through difficult times.
Looking over the text as a whole today, Pastor, anything else you'd like for us to learn from John chapter 16, verses 17 through 33?
Well, the only thing is, it's interesting that right after this is where you have the high priestly prayer. And so he's, you know, this whole idea of first he's talking specifically to them and sharing with them what they'll need to get through this difficult time as he leaves them. And then he turns around and prays for them and really wants, you know, prays that the Father would help them, strengthen them as they go through this, that they would not be lost. And also he prays for us in everything that we will face. And so God's concern for us just shines through in all of this passage.
We've been studying the Daily New Testament reading today with Pastor Randolph Schnock from Trinity Lutheran Church in Mena, Arkansas. Pastor Schnock, thank you so much for being our guest pastor this morning, helping us study John chapter 16.
Thank you.
God bless you and all the saints there at Trinity Lutheran Church in Mena, Arkansas. Coming up in just a little bit, Witness Wednesday with the Reverend Mark Wood, Director of Witness Outreach and Revitalization at the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. You're listening to His Time on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.